Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Welcome to Point of View. It's our Thursday edition of Point of View, and we are doing something rather different this time around. Every Thursday, what we've decided to do is we're going to have a guest presenter in studio with me. So today I have my very first guest presenter on Point of View, and we'll be doing this all the way until Leroy comes. It's going to be lots of fun. We're going to let our head down, but you will never guess who I've got here. This is someone who is super international.
Yeah, to you.
And this is someone who is going to share her views with all the topics that we'll be touching on. And I'm also very looking forward to your engagement as well. 086-00-00-959. So we're going to do this every Thursday. Our pseudo Friday, as Google calls it. And we'll have someone that you may know, someone you've heard before, someone with an opinion, engage with us on topics that we've been engaging with all along. So when I left here last night, I said to you, breaking news is that Home Affairs has now very, very clearly come up and said that they do believe that Miss South Africa has something to answer to, and that Chididima was somehow investigated, her documents were investigated, and there was a discrepancy with her documentation. So what we're going to do is we're going to have a chat about that and many, many other things. We're going to go to Gaza, we're going to go to Israel, we're going to go to the West Bank with an activist there, so we'll cross live there as well. But really looking forward to engagements as well. But I want to introduce you to my co-presenter, my guest today, Dr. Tlaleng Phukeng, who's in studio looking also fabulous.
Hello.
Yeah.
Are you well?
I'm so excited. I'm absolutely ecstatic. Thank you for inviting me. And it's just always an honor to share space with you. So firstly, I wanted to just say that.
You're also welcome. So the party's over. Let's get going. The very first story of the day, we're going to be dealing with the ANC. You may have seen that Fikile Mbalula, SG of the ANC, gave a press briefing earlier on today just to give us an update on what it is that was discussed at the Lekgotla. On the line with us is Kusela Diko, who's ANC NEC member. Kusela, thank you so much for your time. Good evening and welcome.
Pamela, thank you so much. It's so lovely to be speaking to you after a long time. And yeah, good evening to all your listeners and also your co-presenter there.
Kusela, yes, I just wanted to actually tell you that we do have a co-presenter in studio as well, Dr. Tlaleng Phukeng as well. Maybe you can also join us one day, Kusela, as a co-presenter. It would be lovely to have you.
I just may. Thanks.
So let's talk about what the ANC today were able to tell us about the engagement in the Lekgotla. A couple of things came up for you. The SG of the ANC saying that this, as a collective, was decided that the May 2024 elections were a significant setback for National Democratic Revolution in this country. Just maybe elaborate a little bit on that.
Yeah. Pamela, we spent three days in an NEC meeting, and we went to a three-day Lekgotla. And these would have been the first meetings that we've managed to hold as a leadership collective arising from the 2024 election. Now, in those meetings, we obviously had to take a deep dive, be seriously introspective, call one another out where we needed to be, because we needed to understand, why is it that South Africans seem to be losing faith, firstly in the African National Congress, but also in democracy, evidenced by the number of people who did not come to vote today. They chose to stay at home. Now, we characterized what we call a 2024 moment, which is what the SG was speaking about, that there's been a strategic setback that has been suffered by the National Democratic Revolution and ANC lexicon, which is truly just about building a united, non-racial, non-sexist, democratic South Africa, and the ANC as the leader of that revolution. And we needed to explain to ourselves, I think without glossing anything over, that what do we think is at the core of these challenges? And we came to the acceptance that it's three intersecting challenges, really, which just briefly touch on. The first one is about the state of the organization. We are saying that we are a governing party that governs the country, and to govern the country well, to paraphrase the Chinese, is that you need to govern the party well, and you need to govern it very strictly. Now, you're sitting with the situation where the ANC brand is battered, We are assumed to be synonymous with corruption. We are failing to deliver where we have said we will deliver. And those are realities that we had to confront and come up with ways of resolving them. The second one was around the state of the economy. You can't expect people to be excited about going out to vote for an incumbent when the lights are not on, where there are potholes just outside their homes, where people are not working. You know, there's urban poverty, there's hunger, the cost of living is very high. And we realize that over the last couple of years, the economy has not been growing in the manner that we would want to. And then finally, the state of governance. You have a situation where our municipalities, many of them are dysfunctional. The funding models are not right. They don't have enough money to deliver on services. And again, there you have failures in governance. So these were the issues that we looked at, and we came up with a very concrete plan to how we seek to reverse this. And this we are saying with humility, and I think I must make this point, because the ANC recognized that there is a prevailing sense in society that as incumbents, we are arrogant, we don't listen to the people, we have listened to the people. And it's part of the reason why we took the stance that we did, to say that we accept the will of the people who have heard their cries, and we are going to work to try and resolve those issues. So we're putting the economy at the center. We are looking at various ways where we ensure that there's greater industrialization. We expand our public works program, where we look at things like the general fuel levy and the transport costs. We're looking at job reservations for South Africans in the economy, and a number of other matters. But Temelo, I can speak until I'm blue in the face mm-hmm. on the interventions that we're making. But Comrade President Cyril Ramaphosa did say that regardless of what great communication strategies we have, how we seek to remobilize society, none of that is going to matter if we don't deliver. So we have created an outcomes and accountability framework where all deployees of the ANC are expected to account to the Secretary General on a quarterly basis and the president on implementation. And we are going to really work hard to rid ourselves of the sins of incumbency and ensure that we are known for competence and excellence, because that is what the moment requires us to do.
I mean, I have to agree with the president in the sense that we can have all kinds of introspection. You can have, as the ANC, deliberation of what is wrong, and you can tell us, which you do. You're very good at the ANC in admitting some of the things that you've gone wrong with. But I just want to point out, a case in point being Zizi Kodwa, who was sworn into parliament right after the election. It was very difficult for the ANC. I've spoken to the ANC spokesperson at the time. Very difficult for the ANC to explain how come Zizi Kodwa was in there, even as he was just charged. Then he resigned ever so quietly, and the ANC couldn't tell us as well what happened there. And so it makes it very difficult when you speak about fundamental renewal. What does the ANC mean when it talks of fundamental renewal, when right clearly in front of our eyes you say what makes sense to us, but when we look closely, we are very shocked or surprised or confused by some of your actions?
You know, Pamelo, renewal is an ANC concept, right? And it refers to how members of the ANC conduct themselves within the organization, within society. And I think it was occasioned in a large part by all the allegations of corruptions and misdemeanors that our members were facing. But linked to that has been the process that was started by Comrade President Cyril when he came into office, which was ensuring that the law must also take its course, because ours is not to protect members of the ANC and say, oh no, there's step aside, but for the law to truly play its role and hold those who are accused to account. And before I speak to the issue of Comrade Zizi, I want to mention the fact that there has been significant strides that have been made in the fight against corruption in this country, starting from strengthening the National Prosecuting Authority to the resources that have been pumped into the NPA, into the Hawks, as well as the SIU. I mean, a couple of years ago, it was unheard of that you would have a minister like Comrade Zizi who appears in the dock and is facing charges of corruption. It was unheard of that you would have a speaker, who is a sitting speaker, by the way, at that time, that is also facing charges. Now, the wheels of justice are turning. We are having law enforcement playing their role, which for us is the ultimate deterrent on all of these allegations that are leveled against members of the African National Congress. On the issue of Comrade Zizi, I won't even begin to say that I know what happened there. And I think this is because we are in uncharted waters. Comrade Zizi, like was expected of him, and in terms of the renewal policy of the ANC, he stepped down as a minister. He stepped down from the National Executive Committee of the African National Congress. But you'll remember, Tmel, it was also at a transitional time. The list has been gazetted. He's a member of the National Assembly. And I think that we were grappling with a situation that what happens when we don't take up the seat? Because you remember that he was not sworn in with the rest of the MPs, understanding that he was on step aside. And I think that in those legislative implications discussions, a decision, I don't know by who, would have been taken to say he must be sworn in and he would then step aside. But I'm hesitant to go into that area, as I said, to say that we're not quite sure what happened there. But the principle of renewal, of step aside, is one that is sacrosanct. And we've made a commitment. We've made a commitment to the veterans of the ANC, who from time to time have raised these issues with us sharply to say that not only must we say things, we must be seen to be acting on them. And I think that you're going to see a lot more of that moving forward. Touch wood that we don't have a lot more of these cases to have to see there.
Well, I mean, I don't want to labor the point because I do want to park, Zizi Kota on the side, and I don't want to talk about him specifically, but I want to make the point that the ANC also speaks about separation of powers. And you speak about, the wheels of justice turning slowly, but no one's talking about the wheels of justice, and the ANC should not be referring to the wheels of justice. The ANC has its own integrity commission. The ANC knows very well that, yes, you may do 100 things right, but one thing wrong. In politically, the perception doesn't bode well for you as an organization, not just the ANC, anybody for that matter. So we are expecting the ANC to use its own internal processes to manage things that justice takes too long to deal with, which is why we ask the questions. Justice can do its own thing. But there is an expectation that the ANC looks within its own processes and its own policies. And as the ANC commits to certain things, which they tell us they do, we also want to see that doing that internally.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And as I said, I mean, the issue of Comrade Zizi, without belaboring the point, was at a difficult time. I mean, you know that at the time, for example, there were members of the MK who were not going to take up their seats in Parliament. There was uncertainty in what happens in such cases. And I think this may have fallen through the cracks in that instance. But I do want to say, the ANC has established within the organization an integrity commission. And that integrity commission, which is largely run by the veterans of our movement, it looks at issues of integrity, of ethics. What it does not have is the capacity to make findings of guilt or otherwise outside of the criminal justice system. So because of that process of an integrity commission, you would see a member stepping down. When a finding is made against it, we are all expected to abide by it. We have revised our constitution to say that the decisions of the integrity commission are final and no longer subjected to the NEC, because indeed in the NEC we would have perhaps some subjective interest in the outcome. But we also have a process of discipline. Now, unlike the integrity commission, the national disciplinary process is one that makes a finding of guilt or otherwise. Now, we have not had an instance where we can take a comrade, for example, like Zizi, to an NPC, because up until he has gone through the processes and he has been found guilty by the competent authorities, we are not at liberty to make such decisions. But all of this that I'm explaining takes nothing away from the fact that ours through the renewal process is to also ensure that the ANC is not continuously tainted by allegations. And we expect members of the ANC voluntarily to take the decision to spare the ANC, from having to, even in certain instances, having to respond on their behalf on such issues. We've taken decisions that we will no longer go and support members in court in instances where they are accused of things that the ANC did not send them to do, and so forth. So I do understand, and I think the organization understands the fact that perhaps we did not handle this one well, but there's many others that we have handled competently And in the process of renewal, difficult as it may be for the organization, I mean, it is a comrade that we would have struggled with, been in trenches with. But as we do that, we want to ensure that we put forward a foot that says to the South African public, we are serious about this, and that is in the way that we do things and how we follow through on our commitments.
So, Kusela, taking on that this has been the first ANC's Lukhotla since the general elections, what has been some of the reflection moments, especially taking that the president said that he's fully aware, right, of the risks, but also opportunities, and many of us would perhaps even struggle to find a list of five opportunities that the GNU presents. But from the ANC's standpoint, how are you then going into local government thinking about service delivery with the failures, right, that you walk into this phase with the GNU? What is the ideology that the ANC will therefore take on as you move on, and riddled, right, with all of the different accountability issues that you mentioned? So how does the GNU affect the ANC going forward, and how does this then play service delivery, because you now have to go into a coalition with people that, you know, very surprising at most, I think.
Yeah, Doc, thank you. Thank you very much for that question. You see, I think it starts from our conceptualization of the GNU as the African National Congress. I mean, we got less than 50% in the elections. We did not have a majority that allows us to form a government on our own. And for what it said to us is that the people are saying work together. Work together as political parties. Perhaps you will be able to do better than when you were alone. It is the will of the people. We expected it. And right from the onset, it was very clear that South Africans, regardless of whether they voted for the ANC or not, they still considered the ANC the most legitimate and the most biggest political force in this country, and they expected leadership from the African National Congress. We considered a number of options. We could have gone onto the opposition benches. We could have formed a minority government with confidence and supply. We could have gone into a grand coalition, picked one or two parties, even the DA or NK, EFF, and go into a coalition. But we felt that the challenge of the time, this 2024 moment that we're talking about, required us to appreciate that there is a multiple crisis situation in this country. The national fault lines of poverty, inequality, and unemployment, despite our best efforts, are not being resolved at the pace that the people want them to. But also you're having a situation where you have the rise of populism, people who claim to be left, they're moving to the right wing of the spectrum, calling for mobilization on ethnicity, around race, like the colored vote and so forth. And we felt that these and the other challenges in the country required that, even though we come from different political ideologies, we have differences in policy, we must work together. So that is the underpinning of the Government of National Unity. And it is not true that the Government of National Unity is a grand coalition. It is nine parties that are there together. It does not ride or fall on one party, and in this case, the DA, as they have been seeking to make out. But I must make the point that this GNU is an ANC-led GNU. All parties were invited to sign a statement of intent, which is a minimum program of the GNU. It is based largely on the ANC policy. It incorporates our core beliefs that are founded, amongst others, on the Constitution, the Freedom Charter. And we are saying to South Africans that this GNU is not going to be held at the whim of any party. There is a manifesto that South Africans adopted through their electoral outcome. And to change policy, there are processes. You don't disregard the law because now suddenly you are in this Government of National Unity. You follow, you engage with cabinet. So to us, the GNU is a means of stabilizing the country. We would not want to see it going beyond this electoral cycle for the next 5 years. But we are, as the ANC, committed to making it work, because this is the outcome that the elections, the people of South Africa have given to us.
The president, as well as the SG, has made mention of the fact that the local government has to be taken into account and taken quite seriously. Delivery is one of the reasons that the ANC didn't do very well. You have at national level the GNU, but the ANC's Gauteng province has not followed the government of provincial unity. And we are hearing all sorts of things happening in Johannesburg alongside what is happening with the province. Just tell us how you're going to manage that if the very province that you are leading here is not going along with the national GNU program.
Well, Gauteng is not acting in isolation. There has been numerous engagements between the Secretary General of the organization and Gauteng Province. And it was felt at that time, because of reasons that were advanced by the province, that their approach to a minority government was workable, and they were sanctioned to do that. So I'm just trying to dispel the notion that they are a renegade province who do not work in line with what National has directed. In local governments, there are continuing discussions in terms of how you either cascade the GNU in its current configuration down to local level. Mm. But I think the primary issue is to ensure that we stabilize our municipalities. You would have seen in the Western Cape, for example, where there's been a fallout between the DA and the Freedom Front, the Freedom Front choosing to work with the African National Congress. Mm. And where it makes sense, in the interest of the people, the ANC will look at those issues. Now, in the Lekgotla, we discussed local government. You remember, Pamela, I said right at the beginning that our burning platform, our most pressing challenge, is the economy and job creation, but also the state of governance, looking at local government in particular.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Minister of Finance, working together with COFTED, have been directed to relook the funding model of local government. But we cannot do that unless we ensure that we have the necessary capacity at local government to be able to deliver on these perspectives. But we're also saying that when we speak about things like infrastructure delivery, these things happen at local government level, and we need to ensure that we're able to strengthen that sphere of government to be able to deliver against the national objectives. We're going to be intervening a lot more in local government. I think while there's an intergovernmental relations framework, national government in most instances has been very hesitant, you know, to go in there, be activist and intervene. But where we need to change policy, regulation, even laws if they need be, we will do that, because that is really where the rubber is meeting the tar, and it is not working for the people of this country. But we are confident that a lot of the things that we're doing at macro level around energy, around water infrastructure, around the network industries will also be felt at local government. We have an election. In less than 2 years, we'll be going to the local government elections. And while we are not going there just for the sake of winning, we know that there is no way we would win without ensuring that we deliver against that which the people want. And that is the primary objective of the African National Congress moving forward.
And so, Kusela, I want to ask a very specific thing, because you speak about, you know, where the rubber meets the tire. And it's a very good analogy, because a lot of the failures affect people on the ground in their daily lives. And a lot of those issues are very urgent issues, and they are very much around their human rights. You know, their rights to clean and safe water, nutrition and food security, healthy working conditions, and generally having the rights for economic, cultural, social participation. What does it mean, therefore, for the ANC going forward to make us believe what you are saying, right? Accountability is a big part of good governance. And I feel, as a citizen, we are just getting a repeat of what we've heard before, you know, that you can't act because the courts are busy in processes, and therefore you can't institute internal procedures. So what does that mean then going forward for transparency and accountability? And how do we then trust that the ANC is serious about ending corruption, but also being seen to also take, of course, those who've been entrusted with public goods and services and finances to task?
You know, arguably, we could discuss this ad nauseam. Up until we deliver against what we said we will deliver on, it's going to be difficult, and we appreciate that, to restore the trust and confidence of the people in the African National Congress. And this is something that we carry as heavy as it is, but we do understand that there have been lapses in governance, in our contract of trust, if you like, that have led to this situation. And the president did say when he was closing the Lekgotla that up until we are seen to walk the talk, nothing is going to change. But what we have done is that, firstly, in the African National Congress, we have established a Department of Policy Monitoring and Evaluation. This is not a government entity. This is the ANC saying this is the manifesto that we went out to the people with, and that is what we are explaining to be, we are expecting to be delivered. We have strengthened the Office of the Secretary General, where he is able to demand, as he will, reports on accountability, and those are going to be transparent processes. That in this Lekhutla, we spent 3 days. We spent 3 days. How is this plan being implemented? What are the new challenges that are being confronted, and how do we resolve them? I'll make an example. At local government level, and Doc, you need to understand that a huge part of the problems that we face is that people are not feeling our commitment to a better life, right? Because of the high cost of living, because of this and this. So at local government, we're saying that we're going to maintain and we're going to expand the indigent persons portfolio. So your free basic water, your electricity and so forth. But it doesn't make sense that we say that we are giving you taps and then there's no water. So that whole value chain is something that the ANC is going to be looking at. We've made commitments to things like introducing transport subsidies where it makes sense. Because you find that, especially at the lower rungs of the job market, people are spending a lot of their money traveling to and fro. So how do you ensure that you put money back into their pockets? So at the end of the day, I could list all the action items, but I do want to say that we feel it, we know it. When the people are unhappy, we demonstrate it clearly in the ballot box. And I don't think that there's any bigger check against the African National Congress but that we must deliver on the commitments that we have said we are going to do. And you must see us doing it. So we're going to be strengthening also the report back to society.
I have a quick question, Khusela. There seems to be, after the Lekhutla and the NEC meeting, that you now are on the same page with alliance partners, and that seems to be working fine. We spoke ourselves to the SACP right after the Lekhutla wrapped up. But before then, it didn't seem that way publicly. The SACP were, you know, quite ruthless, in fact, in criticizing the ANC for the manner in which you conducted yourself ahead of forming the GNU and so on. I'm told the SG spoke to the fact that there will be a meeting that will be with the alliance partners and so on. But it seems to me like these things are happening after the fact. You didn't manage how your alliance partners were part of this formation when you went into it.
I don't think that conclusion would necessarily be correct. You're right that, after the establishment of government in particular, there were many different views that were coming, especially from the SACP. Now, the SACP, like any of our other alliance components, has a right to voice out any issues, disagreements they may have with the African National Congress. But this was done even after a thorough consultation with the alliance partners. Because even at the point where we were forming a government of national unity, the first point of call, as always, for the African National Congress is to engage its alliance partners, engage certain civil society organizations, the broader mass democratic movement. I do think that it was the implementation of that particular resolution which would have raised the ire of specifically the SACP. And those issues were discussed, were clarified. We do meet in the Alliance Secretariat, the Alliance Political Council that looks at the overall political direction outlook of the African National Congress. So we came out of the Lekhutla saying that we respect the right for them to differ, but we are united on the fact that it is our joint responsibility to make the GNU work. The GNU is meant to work in the interests of the South African people. And while people may have preferences, you know, none of us at any particular point in time, definitely not the African National Congress, would have planned to get into a GNU with the Democratic Alliance. But the conditions at that time dictated so. especially when you have, you know, parties that are blowing hot and cold. They are signaling left in terms of their policy pronouncements, their far right organizations. But nonetheless, we had invited all of them to the table, and some chose to keep themselves out. And in moving forward, based on the statement of intent, which, as I said, is led by the African National Congress in implementation and form and character, we are going to make the GNU work, and the alliance component is fully part of that.
Kusala, thank you so much. As you said, you know, we could be speaking all day here, but there's a lot to cover, and I think we'll have more time at another time to touch on other things, but really appreciate you making time for us. Thank you very, very much. NCNEC member Kusala Diko, thank you so much for your time.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.